Chinese Medicine, The Web That Has No Weaver, page 186. Listening and Smelling, 110. This examination deals with a number of common signs, all about equally important in the weaving of a diagnosis. Voice and respiration are the first. Coarse, strong respiration may signify excess. Weak respiration or shortness of breath, accompanied by weak. Low voice and little speech suggests deficiency. A sudden loss of voice suggests an external pernicious influence, while chronic loss of voice is usually a sign of deficiency. Wheezing most often suggests mucus. A heavy cough or a sudden and violent one is a sign of excess. A dry, hacking cough suggests heat or dryness. A weak cough is usually part of a deficiency pattern. Chinese medicine distinguishes between two main kinds of bodily odors that are present during illness. These smells are difficult to describe, and so the Chinese physician relies heavily on experience when interpreting them. One odor is characterized as full, rotten, and nose-eating, like the odor is of rancid meat or rotten eggs. Such an odor signifies heat. The second odor is less nose-eating, but more pungent or fishy, and may seem to hurt the nose. It's like the smell of humus from bleach and indicates cold and deficiency. Asking, 110. In the third of the four examinations, a physician asks questions, as would a Western doctor, to discover important but not readily apparent information. Of course, many, many questions may be asked, but only those that are most common and that are essential for beginners to learn pattern perception are discussed here. These cover the following topics: sensations of cold or hot, perspiration, headaches and dizziness, quality and location of pain, urination and stool, thirst, appetite and taste, sleep, gynecological concerns, and personal background, which is including medical and psychosocial history. Questions about hot and cold, pain, and medical history are generally the most important. The other signs discovered by asking may contribute necessary shading to a pattern, but these signs are rarely decisive. The order of the questions presented here follows a traditional gradation that is used to help beginning students learn how to think in terms of patterns. They range from the simplest to more complex. The purpose is to provide building blocks for the development of pattern recognition. An experienced physician ignores this order or the entire idea of a fixed set of questions and instead facilitates a natural give and take. For an old-timer, the clinical story comes out in a soul-to-soul encounter. Sensations of cold and hot. In general, cold corresponds to yin and hot to yang for internally generated disorders. Subjective sensations of heat, feeling warm to the touch, or a dislike of hot weather or hot places can be a sign of heat. Cold is signified by the opposite, constant chills or a preference for warm places, for instance. Acute fevers of external origin fall into the special category of febrile illnesses. Until very recently, such illnesses were always considered life-threatening and were in fact a major cause of death. Fevers are therefore a central focus of most Chinese medical texts, as they are in the writing of Hippocrates and in other early medical traditions. When a patient has a sudden fever together with chills, it indicates that the body's qi is attempting to expel an external pernicious influence. it's not necessarily a sign of cold. If the fever persists but the chills disappear, the illness is said to have gone deeper and the fever is a sign of heat. A low-grade fever, especially noticeable in the afternoon, or heat felt only in the palms of the hands, soles of the feet, and the sternum, which is known collectively to the Chinese as the 5 hertz, indicates insufficient yin. If the patient has no fever yet fears cold, he or she is usually suffering from deficient yang or deficient qi, especially if the condition is chronic. Interestingly, whether or not blankets make the patient any warmer is a helpful diagnostic distinction. If blankets increase the patient's warmth, the disharmony is probably the internal deficiency of yang. If not, the disorder may be an invasion of an external cold pernicious influence. Perspiration. Perspiration occurs when the pores are open, but not when the pores are closed. Both these conditions are affected by various disharmonies. If a patient perspires in the daytime, even though he or she engages in little or no physical activity, which is spontaneous sweating, it indicates that protective qi is not properly regulating the pores and that there may be a pattern of deficient yang or deficient qi. Excessive perspiration during sleep, which is night sweating, however, signifies deficient yin. If no perspiration occurs during an illness with a fever and other signs of an external pernicious influence, the pernicious influence is probably cold that has obstructed the pores. If there is perspiration during such an illness, it suggests external heat opening the pores, or perhaps a deficiency of qi hampering the proper regulation of the pores. The choice between these two possibilities would be based on other signs. If the fever breaks after perspiration, the pernicious influence has been expelled. Headaches and dizziness. Headaches may accompany any of the patterns of disharmony, but some broad distinctions between types of headaches can be helpful. Sudden headaches often appear with external pernicious influences which disturb the yang or qi of the head. Chronic headaches more often accompany internal disharmonies. Severe headaches may be a sign of excess, while slight, annoying headaches are usually signs of deficiency. The organ most associated with headaches is the liver, because the liver qi often rises when the liver is in disharmony. A physician may consider that exact location of headache significant, since it corresponds to the meridian that passes through that part of the head and thus to the rest of the system connected by the meridian. Dizziness, like headaches, can be part of any pattern of disharmony, although it is most frequently seen in patterns of deficient yin or blood. It always depends on the rest of the part configuration for the interpretations. Pain. After cold and hot, this is the next most important subject of the asking examination. In fact, pain is often the patient's chief complaint, the thing that brought him or her to the physician. Pain manifesting in a particular part of the body indicates a disharmony in that area. Pain in the chest, for instance, indicates disharmony in the heart or lungs. Pain of the flank and rib cage indicates liver and gallbladder disharmony. Pain in the epigastrium, which is solar plexus, indicates stomach and spleen disharmony. Abdominal pain above the navel indicates disharmony of the spleen and intestines. Abdominal pain around and below the navel indicates disharmony of the intestines, bladder, uterus, or kidney. Growing genital area and hypogastrium, which is all over lower abdomen pain, indicates liver meridian disharmony. And lower back pain signals kidney disharmony. The Chinese physician is also concerned with the patient's description of the exact quality of his or her pain. Table 2 summarizes the significance and type of disharmony associated with some common quality of pain. The time between the start of the pain and when the patient finally makes an effort to see the physician can be important. If the duration is short, the pain is likely to be shallow and more easily treated. If the interlude is longer, the pain may have become an integral part of the patient's negotiations in the world. The deeper pain entwines in his or her life and often requires treatment directed at the inner organs, emotions, and spirit. Table 2. Signification of qualities of pain. Quality of pain, diminished by heat, is signification of cold. Diminished by cold as heat. Relieved by touch or pressure as deficiency. Aggravated by touch or pressure as excess. Diminishes after eating as deficiency. Increases after eating as excess. Increases in humid weather as dampness. Accompanied by bloating or sense of fullness is stagnancy. Sharp and stabbing, usually fixed in location, is congealed blood. Sensation of heaviness is dampness. Moves from place to place is wind or stagnancy. Slight and accompanied by fatigue is deficiency or dampness.